Okay, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Friday. Live local talk. Glad to have you along this hour. Phone number, text line 343-0106. And also on our Facebook page, on the Twitter feed, you can get the, it's a PDF document that we've linked up for Reopen Alabama Responsibly. It's the Phase 1 Small Business Emergency Task Force we talked about last hour with State Senator Chris Elliott. So this has been launched today. Now, it is a recommendation to the governor and the state health officer, Dr. Harris, but it's laid out. It's 157 pages. Not like they just said, oh, well, you know, we ought to do this. It's pretty darn detailed, and you can look through it. I think it's worth your time looking through it. All right, I mentioned before we went to the news break, too, about a message here that has been running the longest of anybody on FM Talk 106.5. Out of all our great companies and clients, the first person that came to us and wanted to change their commercial message away from their normal message of telling us about the selection of cars at Keith Kegan's Classic Cars and talking about why we should get our next vehicle from Keith Kegan's Classic Cars. It was a message of community. And as Marshall Farley did, let's go ahead and roll that. We're going to roll this. You've heard this before, but listen to this.
This is Marshall Farley with Keith Kegan's Classic Cars. Right now, our country and beloved city is trying to navigate through uncertain times, and I have no doubt that we as Mobilians will make it through stronger than ever. In order to do that, we need to come together, help and support one another. Being a family-owned business, we rely on the support of our local community and customers to keep our business moving forward. At Classic Cars, we're open for business in both our sales and service departments, and we are not alone. Throughout our city, locally owned and small businesses are what makes the great city of Mobile great and unique. And the people that work at these places are the backbone of these businesses and what keeps them moving forward. From all of us at Keith Kegan's Classic Cars, we'd like to ask you to make an effort and continue to shop locally. Support all of Mobile's small businesses from clothing stores, restaurants, radio stations, and everything in between. And together, let's all keep Mobile moving forward.
All right, so that guy right there and joins us on the phone right now, Marshall Farley from Keith Kegan's Classic Cars. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome. How are you, Sean?
I'm making it, man, and I'm going to ask you, when you were the first. I mean, you were on the vanguard of that. And what prompted that? I mean, you called us and said, hey, I'm coming in to change my commercial. What prompted you to do that?
Well, you know, a lot of things. When they, I did that before they actually shut down all the restaurants as far as dining in and department stores. But when the media started talking about it, when everything was going on, I kind of saw the writing on the wall. You know, I knew we were going to be in for some tough times. Not to say that I saw it coming, but the closest thing I could compare it to would be, you know, when the recession hit. You know, I just wanted to put a positive message out there. I knew there was going to be a lot of doom and gloom, and I wanted to try and give some motivation to our great city. You know that, you know, let's keep moving forward. You know, we have no choice but to forge on.
Well, I mean, and it's I salute to you again on it, because it wasn't. I mean, you brought a lot of. You took your time, your commercial time, to talk about others in that. And I think that is well appreciated, and it's a message we hear more now, but I want to point out where you were at the front of that. And so with that, hearing, what happened yesterday with the call to the Mike Gallagher show from Kathy and kind of what played out today, let's talk about the situation with y'all and kind of help other people. There are small businesses that haven't maybe gotten word back from their bankers or hadn't gone through the process of navigating small business loans. Give us a little education on that.
Well, you know, it was tough. You know, when they first came out with this program, we were like a lot of small business owners. I mean, it's been tough. You know, we're struggling. We wanted to try and do what we could and be proactive and get with the bankers. It was kind of a long, drawn-out process for us. We had some difficulties. I don't know where they're at now. I heard yesterday that they've run out of money.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing is to just, if you've got a contact at the bank, is just, you know, stay on them. Keep hounding them. You know, that's what we had to do in order to get our situation taken care of.
So I mean, that's one thing that people say. Oh, the bankers told me to get back with them in 3 days or 4 days. Your suggestion is to be ringing that phone.
Ring that phone. Ring it. Yeah, absolutely.
And so, how did that work out with you? I mean, because y'all, I mean, it was just here. I mean, what, the last day So
yeah,
I mean, because it, you were at a point there with, you know, what do we do? How do we keep the business going? Waiting on that check.
Yeah, yeah. We finally got everything worked out. Thank goodness. I mean, it's but I know a lot of small businesses out there have it. You know, we ran into a problem with one of our banks. They opened it up and then closed it over the weekend. You know, and you know, we're like everybody else. We've got expenses. We've got employees that we want to take care of. I mean, it's not been easy at all.
I wonder, you know, in y'all's situation, like every business, we all got our own stories of how we should be affected or not affected when it comes to just talking about the virus. But, I mean, the nature of the lot there on Cottage Hill, y'all don't have people, I mean, the nature of what you do, you don't have people, and I'm not trying to pick a fight with municipality or county or state level, but by y'all's nature, you don't have people piled in there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, business has slowed down, like everybody else that has a small business. It's definitely had an impact on us. We're just doing what we can to try and cut costs, to, you know, maybe not buy something that we would normally buy, just to keep our costs down and keep us moving.
Now, how do you feel poised here? Hearing this, you know, what may be, hopefully, these recommendations made going forward, How ready are y'all for, obviously we're all emotionally ready to turn it around and be back to where we were, but with your staff and everything, are you ready to turn it around and be back at full speed very soon?
We are. You know, I think a lot of people are. I think people in general, even if they don't own a business, I mean, they're ready to go back to work. They're ready to get going, you know. I think people, I know my wife and daughter are going stir crazy.
yep.
and I think a lot of people are, you know. They're ready to get going, get the economy moving, you know, start spending money. I know people that own restaurants, and more than anything, they're just, you know, my heart goes out to them. I used to wait tables when I was in college, so I know how it's affected them, you know. And that's part of my message, is just to support our local businesses. You know, that's what Mobile is, more than anything, is just local family-owned businesses or small businesses that make this economy in Mobile what it is.
It's true. It's very, very true, and it's a whiplash scenario for the unemployment to go from what was the best situation for unemployment in, 40 years or something like that, to turn around and be faced with what some of those have said. It's horrible right now with the 22 million, but how far it could go. I just don't wonder if what the conversation that you and I are having right now here in Alabama isn't happening. I'm looking right now at the news ticker. Other states are doing similar recommendations like we just did in Alabama. That there's enough people that just don't say, okay, we're ready to get back to work. We're going to be safe about this, but we're ready to get things going. I wonder if we don't start coming out of this, you know, very soon.
Yeah. You know, it's, I think the whole country, I think once a few of the states start doing it, I think it's going to carry on. You know, I know each state's individual and they've got, you know, different scenarios. But I think the country's ready to get back to work.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And once again, thank you for your message early on. Thanks for your attention to others out there. I really appreciate it, and I'm glad that things have now worked out with that loan. But, you know, maybe we can see some sunshine on the other side. We're not out of the woods yet, but we're all in this, you know, at the same time. We're pulling through together. And thanks for pointing that out to all of us early on.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sonia. And I think if everybody just, you know, stays positive, we will get through this.
I agree with you, especially with spirit like that. Marshall, thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
Marshall Farley from Keith Kingan's Classic Cars. Heard his story told on the Mike Gallagher Show. And just letting you know a little bit more about that message you hear from them here on the air and working together. Do right by others. It can't hurt, right? When you do right, you never go, gosh, I wish I wouldn't have done right. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's perfect Friday bumper music, Dalton. That's good. Digging that. those of you in the know of that song, you're enjoying it right along with us. All right, 120 FM Talk, 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Phones open for you, 343-0106, 343-0106. A text here. You can't do both. And I guess this person meaning you can't have an eye towards public safety and health and can't have an eye towards the economy. I disagree. Now, there's extremists on both sides, right, that somebody wants it 100% one way, 100% the other way. In other words, we've been talking about this. All of us together been talking about this through this whole process. This is not new to this show. It might be new to whatever cable news channel or local news, you know, evening news. Or the seesaw is it's a measure. That's what grown-ups do. This is the grown-ups are talking here. Now, where that seesaw is balanced, that's different. And by the nature of the threat and your tolerance for risk, it moves back and forth. But there, I think there is a third way. I think we've been navigating some of that. You know, one group would love to see everything shut down. And listen, there are some people that want to see everything shut down and locked down for the right reasons. They do. They're thinking about it from a medical perspective, and they want it shut down for the safety of people. Their hearts are in the right place there. That's where they're coming at. Their hearts are in the right place. Now, there are some that are, I think, out there that want to keep people safe, but they also enjoy the political expediency for different measures by full shutdowns. And I think we're going to see that to some degree, in how we see reopenings around the state. And, I mean, or between the states. I think, like, you're seeing it today. We talked about it this morning, that certain states open up way earlier than others. I have just my best guess. If I had to go to an open casino, which I don't even know how to find one these days, but if I went to an open casino and they took bets on that kind of stuff, I would bet that it would be red states way ahead of blue states on that. But on the flip side, those that have said there's nothing to this at all, this is all contrived, and it was just there's no actual virus, and this is just to bring down, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So the measure is somewhere in between those two extremes, I think. Now, you can be way closer to one or way closer to the other, but there is some level of balance. And I think that's what we're seeing, right? As we're more familiar with the risk of COVID-19. Now, once again, I didn't say not having a risk. As we're more familiar with that risk, your tolerance for it comes up. And some other people sent me some good analogies. Mine's been the scuba diving analogy. Right, if you scuba dive in the Gulf, the fact is there are sharks there, because that's where they're supposed to be, by the way. I can't wait to get back to the days when this time of year it'll just be all stories from TV news about sharks in the Gulf. Those were the good old days when we could just have, no, there's sharks in the Gulf stories. But they're there, right? So if you decide to, you're scuba diving, you go spear fishing, right, these things I've liked to do since I've been a young guy, although I don't get to go much anymore, but that's another lament for another show. You know the sharks are there. And if you looked over the side and it was a tangle of bull sharks, it was really highly stained water, bad visibility, and chock full of bull sharks, I would say, as much as I want to go down there and check out this rig, as much as I want to go down there and shoot a snapper, I'm not going. And the other extreme would be you look at it and there's no sharks anywhere and the water's crystal clear to 120 feet and you know they're not there and you're in a swimming pool, right? So, but in reality, it's somewhere in between on that. So you still choose to go scuba diving based on what you see there, right? And that's the same thing in this situation. As State Senator Chris Elliott said, and well said, nobody's telling you have to go as a consumer into any of these places. Nobody's telling you have to put your kid back in, you don't have to do any of that. Now, the employment side is different, but the consumer side is not. And I think businesses and just individuals that are fair-minded are going to do everything. Do you think businesses want to have an issue with this? No, of course not. They're going to be scrubbing. It's going to be it is going to be a higher priority item than it ever has been before for a business to do the scrubbing and the wiping down. So they make their own decisions now based in some of these frameworks for separation between tables. Like, say, for restaurants, they're going to have to be like 6 feet between the tables and all these things. And then they can open up, and you can choose to go there or not go there. But saying it has to be all one way or the other, I think that's, and this is a way to kind of see if this this works and get things rolling again, right? That's what we want to see. Get people back to work, get people back to some semblance of what it was like before. All right, let's see. His name's Marshall Farley, but he's over Keith Kingan's Classic Cars. So that's Marshall, good guy. And they're over there on Cottage Hill. Somebody's asking, but I thought it was Keith Kingan. Keith, if you're listening, hey, Keith. Keith is probably, I hope Keith is fishing, but Marshall is running the show over there. People talking about Al's comments about going back to work. This person said it's called integrity, Al. Yeah, it's integrity or just a built habit, right? Growing up, the idea of if you had the job, you went back to the job, unless you had a better job to go to. But this is one of the things when you have a federal response, and this is true also on the one-time payments, right? Alabama makes out better than California on that. When we get you get your $1,200, you get the $2,400 for the couple, the whatever, the $500 for each child, you get that money. That goes a lot farther here in Alabama than it would in California. San Francisco, it's a lot more, you get a lot more bang for that buck in Mobile than you do in San Francisco. So we come up, and the same thing is true when you look at the federal add-ons also for unemployment. And I see what the feds were, the same measure, Al, that the feds were showing, and people were showing a lot of heart, that they didn't want people losing their job through no fault of their own, and I supported that as well. They didn't want people losing their job through no, who were doing their job, and it's this economy and this virus fight that put them out of job. I think those same fair-minded people, Al, maybe weren't looking at the idea there that there would be people say, well, I'm not going back to work until after this unemployment money. And that's another, because I was asking about the timeline, and thank you, y'all, sometimes, quite often, probably. I can be dense on things like this. I don't think it out. And this texture says, adults, I've lost it. But they were saying something to the effect of the reason August, when I asked Al when he would go back to work, that would be at the end of the unemployment benefit there. So yeah, but you know what? It's not the job. Let me tell you this: it is not the job. It's not Al. It's not your job. Like, you can currently occupy the job, but the job was created by that business, wherever they are. And they're getting back to business, and they need the people. If they didn't do you right during this, then you might take a decision here. Maybe you go somewhere else. If they didn't show themselves to be employers of integrity, then you go somewhere else. But if they did, and they said, hey, we're getting our business back online, you say, well, why am I going to go work for that, whatever I was making, what I can make this on unemployment? Well, number one, it's the right thing to do for the company that did right by you during this. And number two, your unemployment will go away. If you want to just look at it, instead of idealistically, just look at it pragmatically, the job will go away. That business owner will take that job and give that to somebody else. Somebody else who will show up and work that job. It is the business owner's job. You get to work. So, person doesn't have to hold it for you. For this, you can choose to do all kinds of things out there. So yeah, I'll answer the question the same way again. I would go back to the job. All right. Yeah, there's other than a lot of people enjoying making fun of how big my hair got here. I am hopefully going to see starting next week, end of next week, I'll be able to go see and go get my hair cut. It was down to me looking for used Flobies on eBay. I didn't have to do that, so I'm probably going to stick it out till next week. All right, hey, when we come back, too, I want to talk about businesses navigating the economy and doing things differently. You've heard me talk to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. We're going to talk to him again in a little bit. Like, their whole deal, right, as a local business, we do our live broadcast at least four times a year out there. And for Ron and Nancy and Angelo and the whole gang there, their deal is they visit with folks. I don't know if you've ever been there, but folks come in the shop and they kind of visit. You know, they're buying things, but they're at the same time talking about a whole bunch of things with the folks there. They hadn't been able to do that. Like, that major part of that, other than doing gold and silver as a kind of like a monetary mechanism there, they hadn't been able to do what they do in person. They had to move their whole gift portion of their business online. And you know what? It takes a lot of data entry to do all that stuff. So they had to make changes. Like, so many businesses that are still open have figured out, okay, well, we got to do curbside. We got to do this. We got to do that. At least these were the ones that could stay open as we made it through the last couple months. Now, hopefully very, very soon we get things back to, I'm not going to say normal. I'm not going to use the, not going to say normal, but I would say a little closer to what it used to be. All right, check the news and Dr. Bill's forecast, and then we're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, remember, check us out, fmtalk1065.com. We got the inventory. See what I'm doing here? We got an inventory of podcasts loaded up there, but it doesn't take as much time as it had to have taken our friends at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry to put. Angela, how many items up on eBay now?
Over 9,000. I think this morning it was somewhere around 9,400 and some change. So, yeah, lots and lots of items to choose from if you go to our eBay store there through the... And you can find that through the website.
Yeah, hats off to y'all on that, because this is a process as businesses are trying to figure out, okay, well, what do we do if I can't? You know, there's a lot of them that can't even have the storefront that y'all do right now, figuring out how to do this. And you're just a good example of local folks that can make this happen. And I guess just sit down and enter that data.
Well, in one way, we've been ahead of the game on some of this, because a lot of our customers like their privacy. You know, you bring in a coin collection, maybe your mama's coming in here to show some jewelry to us and have us appraise it. You want some privacy. She wants some privacy. You don't want somebody standing over you being nosy. So we set our shop up where we buzz you in, buzz you out, and we have private workstations on either side. So our customers and our clients come in, and they have that little bit of privacy there. So I guess in a way we're a little bit ahead of the curve on some of this social distancing as it was. So it's really come in handy.
All right. Also, talk to us about what's going on with the precious metals now. People can come in person there for that. What's the... What's gold doing right now, and is that ratio with silver still kind of weird? You were talking about that.
The gold to silver ratio is still completely out of whack, as far as I'm concerned. It's over 100 ounces of silver to 1 ounce of gold right now. Last time it was that crazy was during World War II, which tells me that something really strange is going on right now. And that being said, gold and silver both dropped a little bit today. So right now, gold is a little under 1,700. Silver is still over 15, but it's down from that 1,550 mark earlier this week. That being said, I still have plenty of both gold and silver in stock. So if somebody wants to come by and pick some stuff up, we've got plenty of stuff available.
All right. Give folks directions to come see you online and in person.
Yeah, online, it's mobilebaycoins.com. Click on that shopping button. That'll take you to our eBay store. In the real world, 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. And if you've got concerns when you get here about social distancing or maybe staying in your car, we are offering curbside service. You can just call us 725-1590.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a great weekend, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. So Fred says on the text line here, someone I know went from working 20 hours a week at $10 an hour. Okay, so 20, I didn't know there'd be math involved in this. Right? Can you do the calculation? So 20 hours a week at $10 an hour, that seems a lot like $200 to me.
Yeah, if you add a zero to yeah. That tracks. That does track.
Here, this would be a fun game show. Media, the basic math stuff that my dad, who engineer, would look at me and just, boy, what is wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know, Dad. He's like, he's you just do the equation. I'm like, I don't know.
That's why I married an accountant.
He's a smart man. So Fred says, someone I know went from working 20 hours a week at $10 an hour to making $800 per week staying home. Hashtag motivation. Fred, it's right. It is the truth. And it is here's the problem. When you look at federal programs too, let's look at $800 a week. Mm-hmm. So $800 a week here in Southwest Alabama, heck, the whole state of Alabama, it means something versus what would $800 a week to somebody in San Francisco mean?
It's a pay cut there. It's a new boat here. That's the difference.
You're on fire, brother. And also, speaking California, you just walked through with the story about this is the stuff we've been asking about, mm-hmm. about testing.
Yep.
And what, you know, as more tests come online, I think it shows more cases. But those cases were already there. Those percentages were there. We're just finding out about them.
Right.
And walk us through this, what they did and what did they find out?
So earlier this week in the sports report, we were talking about Major League Baseball participating in a huge sample, a huge antibodies test sample being conducted by USC and Stanford. I think 27 of the 30 teams are going to be tested using these two different types of antibodies testing to see whether they have the coronavirus antibodies in their blood and whether they still or how recent those antibodies came to them.
Right. So, y'all, this is the stuff we've talked about where it shows you were exposed to it. Doesn't mean you're sick. You might have been sick. You might not have been sick.
And that would be something that would we haven't had the luxury to this point to have large random samples of not just people that feel sick, but people who may not have felt sick at all to see what the true number of the people in the population that have gotten coronavirus, COVID-19, and then from that, the true fatality rate and true rate of people to get very sick on this. So in addition to this MLB testing, they said that USC and Stanford were going to do two other tests in California counties. I'm not sure if this test that they have the results from now is from that study or from another, but they have now the first large-scale test in a community. This was Santa Clara County, and they tested 3,300 people for COVID-19 antibodies. And in this test, which they actually they publicized the test on Facebook, so it's not an exact random sample, but right. You do have people that weren't sick that were sampled in this. You've got all kinds of people.
Just people that answered the ad, right?
Right, and it's in Moyne County. And they found that 2.5 to 4.2%, so 2.5 to 4.2% of the people that took this test did test positive for antibodies. And they say in this report that would mean the infection rate is actually much higher in Santa Clara County than they originally believed. They put this, it's a county of 2 million, and they say, according to this sample, that would mean that between 48,000 and 81,000 people in the county have these coronavirus antibodies. That's opposed to the 1,000 that is officially counted by the county at this point. So right now,
wow,
as of this test, they had 1,000 that have tested positive in Santa Clara County. They did these antibodies tests, random sample, or close to a random sample, and they now think that between 48,000 and 81,000 have the antibodies. So they say that the doctor in this test, who's with Stanford, so it must be this random sample we were talking about,
right.
USC and Stanford, they said, our findings suggest that there's somewhere between 50 and 80-fold more infections in our county than what's known by the number of cases than are reported by our Department of Public Health. So we'll see larger samples, more random samples done with this antibodies testing, but what we know now about this virus is minuscule compared to what we will know. And that's why it's so important to get testing, because if thousands and thousands and thousands of people already have these antibodies, and another thing we're trying to find out is how soon after you gain these antibodies from coming in contact with the virus, how soon after can you catch the virus again?
That's the big question. And when we talked to Dr. Irvin last week on it, he said, because I think it's a refreshing thing when people say, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. I want them to know, but it's refreshing. He said, we don't know that. The information's not in yet on that, because you get this idea once you have something, you don't get it again. Well, maybe in some cases you do, you know, but it's they don't know.
Right. And if they do find that the infection rate is much lower, or at least the symptoms rate is much lower than they thought, and then if the fatality rate is much lower than they thought, because you're not going to get a true fatality rate until you know how many people have actually, you know, been struck with COVID-19. And so if the fatality rate and the sickness rate ends up being much, much, much lower than anyone thought, then the question of how long are we going to keep the economy closed, that's just another big question as far as that goes.
I have a feeling that it's going to be the economy is going to come back online and we're going to have a spike.
I think so.
I just hope that at that point we realize that's what we expected, you know, that we take care of those sick folks. We try to do everything we can to keep mitigating the spread of COVID-19, but we know it's a measure in balancing this seesaw when it comes to keeping the economy alive. At the same time, we're trying to minimize. The idea we're going to eliminate the cases of COVID-19 and folks that are in those risk groups is not going to happen, but let's do everything we can as a community to mitigate that. All right, before we wrap up and go to the news break, I want to say, there's got this text here, and thank you. The text line's been popping. Good afternoon, Sean. I wondered if you might give a shout-out to all my customers. Oh, this is cool. Here in Mobile, as well as my coworkers. I work for Aero Exterminators, awesome company. On behalf of Aero, we want to say thank you to everyone who has allowed us to continue doing our jobs. Otherwise, we, too, would be out of a job. We're staying safe, wearing our PPE, and really appreciate what we're doing for the community. Stay safe, everyone. God bless. And whoever you are, tell our buddy Austin over there. Tell him hi, and then say Sullivan said something mean about you. Tell Austin, say Sullivan was on there on the air saying mean things. Great, great folks. And, but what this person is saying is what we're talking about. That if y'all say no out of fear and don't let people work, then those people don't have a job. Those people don't have a job. They can't then go to your business or the other or my business and work with us. And we all lose when that happens. Now, can we do this and also be mindful, respectful, and prayerful about others? I think you can. I think that's the spirit we should take with us this weekend. So we'll try that one. All right. Coming right back, we'll be wrapping it up. Paul Feinbaum on the way in just about 15 minutes right here on FM Talk 106.5. Some interesting stats there. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, back in studio with Ruth Lichtenfeld from Taylor Martino. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you for having me.
It's always good to have you here, and there's so much I want to talk about. The first thing, though, I want to talk about this because we mentioned it last time you were here, and I think it's something we got to point out that, or let me ask you the question. I'll set it up this way. Is it true that you are the only nurse who's also a personal injury attorney in our area?
Yes, to my knowledge, that's still correct.
So two dedications there take a lot of time through school, and you did them both.
Yes, I did.
This is obviously puts you in a unique situation when it comes to personal injury because you deal with the law, but you also know the physical injury.
Yes, that's correct. And, you know, like nurses, lawyers, especially those at Taylor Martino, were passionate advocates for those who need our help.
Yeah, I guess some of the tools you use will be different between the two, but yeah, you're helping people.
That's right. People still come to us when they're in need of help, be it nursing or the law. We assess their problem. We listen to their concerns. We do some research to figure out how we can help them through either medicine or the law. And then we execute our plan. We plan how to help them, applying the body of law knowledge that applies, and then we, you know, help that person.
And you're looking at injuries. There's injuries, physical injuries, but also as a personal injury attorney, you can see what that means going down the road. Well, that might be a physical injury now, but you know what that injury is to future earnings or
exactly.
Their quality of life.
Exactly. The negligence of others can impact the entire life of someone who's injured. It's the mental anguish, the pain and suffering, the effect on their relationship with their spouse, their children, their income. Maybe they can't work any longer. Maybe they can't do the same job, and so their earning ability decreases. It can be a tremendous myriad of issues that are caused by the negligence of others.
Well, you know, we picture this, Ruth, like we all have this picture of the arc of our life, right? Mm-hmm. Here's what we're going to do. I'm on my way. We're doing this, that, and the other. To be frank with you, none of us stop and think, well, what happens if that gets cut short? It's just something we don't do every day. I know y'all have to do it at Taylor Martino because you deal with people that are seeing this, but this is real. This is real impact. These are real impacts.
It is. And we talk to people all the time who minding their own business, seatbelt buckled, going the speed limit, and somebody runs a red light on their text, they're texting or phoning or surfing the web while they're driving and run into our client, and their life is forever changed in many cases.
You know, I know at Taylor Martino, you'll pride yourself on the forensic ability in
right.
those situations.
Right.
Let's talk about that because you had another seminar. Y'all constantly learning more and more about this.
Right.
Give people an idea how y'all deal with this, how you look into those situations where the person you just described doing the speed limit, seatbelt on, doing right, they get hit.
Yeah, they get hit. And it's very important to contact us at Taylor Martino for a couple of reasons. We are your best advocate. Insurance companies are not going to look out for your interest. period. That's just not the other person's insurance. Your own insurance may be different. But you need to contact us as soon as possible so we can gather all the evidence we need against the person who caused the wreck. They are called the tortfeasor. And so we need to gather all the evidence as quickly as possible. There's so much technology available now that we can actually pinpoint the location of the tortfeasor's cell phone by getting forensic evidence, tower pinging the cell phone. We can download their data, their text messaging, the all of that is date and time stamped. And so we want to be hired by the person who's injured as quick as possible so that we can gather all that evidence before the evidence starts to disappear by the tortfeasor because they get worried they're going to get sued. But there's a tremendous amount of information that we can gather, but it's important to get to us quickly so we can evaluate all the facts.
When you get that information, it must be a relief to your clients because I'm sure they're in these situations where they know they were in the right, the other person was in the wrong, but person say, I didn't do anything wrong. Right. It wasn't me.
I have rarely had a tortfeasor who said, yes, I did it. You know, take me, you know, take my insurance money. Their insurance company's job is to defend every single claim that the injured party, who is our client, can make. And so it's always an adversarial relationship. That's why we recommend you don't talk to the other driver's insurance company. Don't do a recorded statement. Don't let them gather evidence against you. But just contact us. We have over 100 years, I think, of experience among all the lawyers. It may be 150. I don't want to date myself or my partners. but there's a lot of experience. Yeah, a lot of experience and wisdom. And with the advance of technology, you know, we are really, really, really very thorough, and we do not leave anything on the table. We are highly aggressive. And I've told people before not to underestimate me because I'm soft-spoken. You know, there's nobody that wants more than I to do what's best for the client and recover what they deserve.
And you said something there, too, that's just a takeaway for people to keep in there, that they need to talk to y'all before they take that call from the insurance company or the people that hit them.
Right, right, right.
But people don't know that, right? People think, oh, they called, I got to talk to them.
We talk to people all day long. We screen calls. We tell you what we think. You know, can we help you? We want you to come in, sit down, and talk to us. We want you to know what your rights are under the law. Don't hesitate. We're never too busy to sit down and talk with you. If you have a question, do you have a case or not?
Let's talk about this, too. We talk about your uniqueness as a nurse who's also a personal injury attorney. We talked car wrecks, but that's a pretty big umbrella, personal injury attorney. There's a lot more that goes under that.
Yeah, it's a massive umbrella. There's personal injury from car wrecks, slip and fall in a grocery store and somebody's retail store. There's defective products like Allergan breast implants or hernia mesh. There's pharmaceutical issues. We have cases where medicines have caused people to have cancer. We represent people in all types of personal injury. It doesn't have to be a car wreck.
But if they have an injury, like you said, you've been seeing them as a nurse for all those years and then so many years as a personal injury attorney. All right. So, Ruth, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, get an appointment to see you, how do they do that?
They can call me directly at Taylor Martino, 433-3131, or by email on our website, taylormartino.com.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.